Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church of Morgan Hill. And we ask you, if you're a first-time member or attender here, that you would please tear off this portion of the program that was given to you when you came in and fill it out. Pastor would just like to send you a thank you note. I'd like to open this morning from Psalm 62, verses 7 and 8. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge. Is in God. Trust in Him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Blessed is the word of God. Let us open up in prayer. Almighty God, blessed Lord Almighty, it is in you that we live and in thy mercy and grace that you have shed upon our soul by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We ask you, O Father, that you'll be with us this morning, especially with our pastor as he proclaims the gospel unto the people. And that you will use it, O Lord God, to call more of thy children into thy kingdom. We also pray, O Lord God, for this day, that you be merciful unto the nation of this country as we prepare to celebrate Thanksgiving, where a group of people came to worship you in free atmosphere, O Lord, which this country has forgotten, that we come before thee in thanks for what you have given us, and that is your Son. We pray, O Lord God, that you will give our leaders of this country wisdom and understanding by thy mercy upon their soul, to lead this country, to glorify thy holy name in the world. We pray, O Lord God, for the missionaries that we support and all the missionaries that serve thee in spirit and truth, that you'll be with them and watch over and protect them and their families as they seek to proclaim thy gospel, to call more of thy children into thy kingdom. These things we ask in Jesus' name. I have one announcement today, and that's to remind you that this Wednesday, November the 25th, at 7:30 p.m., there will be a Thanksgiving service here, and we ask if you're able to attend that you would come and worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with us on that day. We ask you now that you'll take the hymnal and turn to hymn 42. We ask you to please stand.
Look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you again for providing for us last week. We bring this offering because we love you. So bless the offering and bless the giver. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. My friends, this is Pastor Otero once again speaking to you at the moment of the offertory. I'd like to announce this coming Wednesday, 7:30 p.m., our great Thanksgiving service. We want to invite the entire community to celebrate with us a moment of thanksgiving because of what God has done for our life. First and most, our great knowledge and revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart, and then the wonders of His provision and care for our life. So please, if it's possible for you, this coming Wednesday at 7:30 p.m., our Thanksgiving service. It's easy to get to our church once you are in Highway 101 at the crossroad of Tenon Avenue, the heart of Morgan Hill, and Highway 101. You may turn off, overpass the freeway, right on the corner, you will see the three crosses of Bethel Baptist Church. We are looking forward to see you. Meantime, let's join the service in progress.
We ask you now to take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. If you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading in that Bible on page 60. We ask that you would please stand for the reading of God's Word. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Almighty Father, blessed is thy holy name. The holy name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we come before thee, O God. As thy word reveals today, O Lord God, we are not to look on what our neighbor has, but to be thankful for what thou hast blessed us with, O mighty Lord. And Father, in all that thou hast given us, help us to sacrifice ourselves for our neighbor, so that we give a witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ, verbally and in our lives. We pray, O Lord God, for our pastor as he proclaims the gospel unto the people today, that you'll be merciful and call more of thy children into thy kingdom by the proclamation of thy gospel. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
I happen to have a daughter that's in the fourth grade, and her name is Jacqueline. And in the fourth grade, we tend to learn a great deal about the Oregon Trail. And you learn about how they leave Independence, Missouri, and how they have to pack up a wagon 4 feet wide, 5 feet long. The wagon has no springs in it, so they're not allowed to ride in it. They have to walk the whole trail. Over 2,000 miles of walking. Most shoes wear out in the middle of the plains, so most children, parents, walk barefoot the rest of the path. Along the path are strewn very precious items: bedposts, china, old grandfather's chests. If they make it all the way to Oregon, they get two paths to choose. They can either choose the Great Columbia River, which at that time had no dams, so it was fully just raging, especially during the times that they were hitting it. Or they could go up through a path that was built, but the path was only 4 feet wide also, not a very big road. Along the path, there was Laurel Hill. Laurel Hill is a one-mile drop, and you had to drop your possessions and yourself down this one-mile drop, kind of like the Grand Canyon, only at a different grade, but about a 45-degree angle. Most people, if you were fortunate, made it to Oregon City. But most either died along the path. In fact, before you hit Laurel Hill, there's a graveyard where there's a baby by the name of Baby Morgan that's buried. And on her little tomb rock, actually, that she has, is written the inscription that she died at the age of 3 months, shortly after the death of her mother, who had died 3 months of giving birth earlier. So people lost possessions. They lost family members. I don't know about you, but when you read that last verse of not coveting things, boy, kind of gets you. But the one thing I do want to share with you is that maybe you don't long for things. Maybe you're fortunate and you don't covet. Maybe you have all that you could possibly want, contentment. My question is, if the Lord takes it all away, like those people on the Oregon Trail, could you claim, Lord, you are everything I want, everything I could ever need? That's what this song is about this morning. Lord, I hate to take the time, 'cause you've heard it all before. There are questions on my mind I can't find the answers for. In spite of how it may appear, you know that my heart is true, and I find the truth I'm searching for in you. 'Cause everything you are is all I'll ever need. There is not a path I take where you cannot lead. How can I be you ask of me? Everything you are is all I'll ever need. In a world of compromise, it's so hard to really know. Does satisfaction truly lie in what I can call my own? Father, help me separate between all my wants and needs, till I only see the things you have for me. 'Cause everything you
thank you, Miriam, and it is a great joy to have the family back together. Miriam is my daughter, and the three little ones here, that they are growing and growing, are just a pleasure to have them with me in the family.
Let's look to the Lord in prayer and then to the Bible to study just what Miriam have a son about, that business of covetousness. Father, we thank you that once again we're going to open the Word of the Living God. And we pray that as we study thy Word, the Holy Spirit will enable each one of us to understand it and to apply it to our life. Thank you for the opportunity not only to study thy Word here in this place, in Bethel Baptist Church, but also through the tape ministry. So many people are receiving the tapes and are grateful for the teaching, but so many are listening over the airways, and we pray your blessings to all of them. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may open your Bible to the book of Exodus in chapter 20 and in verse 17. And today we arrive at the end of the Ten Commandments. We study each one of them. We start with commandment number one, God is God, in verse 3. Commandment number two, God is unreplaceable, verse 6. You cannot replace God for anything. God is serious about his name. That's verse 7. Commandment number 4, God is serious about his day. And so when God wrote the commandments, the first 4 relate to the government of God and man. Then number 6, God is serious about parenthood, verse 12. Then God is serious about our behavior, verse 13. Then God is serious about our marriage, verse 14. And then God is serious about our responsibility, verse 15. And then God is serious about our integrity, verse 16. Now we come today to verse 17. And God is serious about our wants. Verse 17 reads in this way, you shall not covet thy neighbor's house. You shall not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his workers, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Notice the word covet. Covet is like envy, like desire that craves you. What the commandment is talking about? Covetousness is what the commandment is talking about. It's talking about greed. It's talking about jealousy in the hearts of people. You know something? Covetousness is a sin that is given little attention. Few sermons are preached, and few lessons and very few books are written about this business of greed, envy, and possession. We in Latin America believe that's the sin of America. I want everything is possible to have. Everything. Nothing left. Now, what is covetousness? Covetousness is a predominant desire of thought, a desire of thought that craves, that lusts, that yearns, that just eats away at the human heart. I want to have it regardless. You see it in little children. Parents, these holy ones of yours, from the babe, from the cradle up, you see it. I want it, I have it, and I want it. And if my sister have that, I want that too. And if my brother have that, I want that too. I want it to have. It is covetousness that craves the things of the world, the things that person do not have. I want something I don't have. That's covetousness. It is covetousness that craves the things other people have. See, it's nothing wrong to have things. What is wrong is I want what that person has. That's what's wrong. and you see it in your children. Covetousness often destroys a person and causes destruction of other people. For example, let me give you some examples. A person covets a woman, and what he does? He commits adultery. A person covets money or property. What the person does, he steals or he kills. A person covets recognition and acceptance. Therefore, he lies to get ahead. A person feels unattractive, unhealthy, or poor. Therefore, he covets what somebody else has. Covetousness is terrible, is destructive. Only God can keep us from reaching out and taking what is not ours. Covetousness is a sin of the human heart that causes so many problems within our society. Nevertheless, we never talk about it. So commandment number 10, in spite of what the Roman Catholic Church has done and split it in two, commandment number 10 is one commandment. Concern man's desires. Concern man's wants. And God is on the top of it. He says, look again in verse 17, you shall not covet, period. No questions about it. So we're going to ask the three classical questions we did ask all the commandment. Number one question is, who is to obey this commandment? Only the Israelites? Only the people who were all in the world and not ourselves? Number two, what is forbidden by this commandment? And number three, what is the decision required by this commandment in your heart? So question number one, who is to obey this commandment? Verse 17 starts in this way, you shall not covet. The point is very clear and is very forceful. As long as man exists and God rules over the earth, there will be a need for these Ten Commandments and a need for man to heed the demands of God. Now notice, who is to obey these commandments? Verse 17 said, you. And the Hebrew word you can be written in two ways. You alone, or every one of you. And that's the word. Every one of us need to take care of these commandments. Every generation of men is to obey these commandments. Now, somebody asked me when I said the other day, this commenting with someone, I said, you know, the problem of America is to covet. I want what the other person have. He said, what's wrong with that? He said, we are a progressive country, really. He said, yes, we want to be number one. Well, somebody else number one. You don't have to be. When you work for an employer, the employer is number one, you are number two or three. So what? What's wrong with that? Oh, no, I want what the employer has. How do you know this is for today? Turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 10. And the Bible confirmed that this commandment is for us today. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 10. Look at what the Bible says in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 10. No thieves, no covetous, no drunkards, no revilers, no extortioners shall what? Inherit the kingdom of God. Therefore, the Bible is clear, and the Bible authorized, and the Bible is so forceful. They said, you shall not covet. And in the New Testament, the Bible guarantees that if that is your trademark of your life, that you have a covetousness desire that you cannot stop, then you shall not inherit the kingdom of God, said the Bible. You are not one of God's children. So command number 10 concerns that particular issue of our life. Now, how do we break the commandment? How do we violated the commandment. If I may speak and say to a class of high achievers, you know, professionals, how can I tell them you should not covet when they're really, really anxious to go in life and covet? Well, you need to study carefully God's Word, because in God's Word, it is explained how this commandment is violated without breaking your desire of prosperity. And I hope I'm going to do this as clear as possible to you. How is this commandment broken, violated? Let's take in consideration two things. Number one, there is a legitimate covetousness. You say, oh, what you say, Pastor? Yes, yes, yes. There is a legitimate covetousness. And the Bible also said that there is an illegitimate covetousness. So let's study the whole panorama. All right? Number one, then, here is a legitimate covetousness. That God has planted within man certain inalienable desires that we are entitled to. Desires, they are very good, and that you express it with all intensity. We all have legitimate desires for love, for joy, and for peace. Legitimate desires to be secure. Legitimate desires to be successful. If you are a businessman or a businesswoman, you have been created with a legitimate desire within your heart to be successful, high up in the scale. Yes, it's true. You have been created to fulfill and be satisfied in your life. You know that? So now you say, hold the pastor, hold it. Are you sure of that? Yes. I'll go through the Bible and show you. The Bible says that every good and perfect gift come from God himself. Look in James chapter 1 and in verse 17. In James chapter 1 verse 17, the Bible says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. That means from heaven. James 1:17. And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every perfect gift comes from above. And so therefore the Bible said that that God hath provided for you the best for your life. Every best gift come from God. James 1 and verse 17. The Bible also says that the excellent qualities of life and the best gift of God are to be coveted. Let me show it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 31. When I went to school, my father told me, anything less than A is bad. So I told Miriam, anything less than A in the university is bad. Don't even mention. So when I went to school in America, anything less than 99 will be bad. I covet to learn. I covet the best. I don't want to be first before anybody else. I don't want to compete with anybody. But I want to compete with myself. 1 Corinthians 12, 31. But covet earnestly the best gift. You see that? Covet earnestly the best gift, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. If you are a Christian, you should covet before the Lord the best gift for your life and develop them as best as you can. You're a Sunday school teacher and you know that that's your gift. You covet that as the best for your life and you develop them the best you can. And each time you teach the class, you challenge again and you challenge again because you are coveting something that's good. God says it's absolutely good. The Bible says that the excellent qualities of life, the excellent qualities of life, and the best gift of God are to be coveted, are to be desires. And by this I mean this, I do not covet to sin a sorrow, because the church will leave quickly. You understand that? I know I do not have the gift, neither the ear, nor the senses of sinning. So I will be a fool if I'm in envy of my daughter, my wife, our sister Toste. I will be a fool if I have envy of my brother Al, who trying to explain me the notes, and he showed me up and down, and I look on it and I get confused. See, I can't believe it. I can read Hebrew quickly, but I cannot read those black things on the thing. Confuse me. I don't have the gift, so I will not cover that gift. But whatever gift I have, I will perform it to the best of my ability. I will be trained to the best of my ability. You know, always I search for something. I have a ring in my hand. I got it from Tel Aviv. I searched the net a year ago. It's a class for sixth graders in Hebrew. I covet to speak Hebrew like a sixth grader. So I enroll in the class. Gabriel Oterowski, and enroll. 3 o'clock in the morning to 5 o'clock, the class in Tel Aviv, open to you with a square in the V. And I just wrote all until I fluently passed the class. And over there, when you graduated in grammar school, they give you a ring. And the ring said, I am my beloved, and my beloved is yours. Even the unbelievers Jew know the scripture. Covet that gift. And develop that gift. Some of you have the gift of social activity that you can invite somebody to church. Invite it. Excel in what you are. Is that right? Excel in what you are. The Bible said that God gave us the ability to get wealth, and that we should work so diligently that we can actually earn enough, said the Bible, that you said, why do I earn so much? So you give to others. Ephesians 4 and verse 28. In Ephesians 4 and in verse 28, look what the Bible says. Let him that is tall steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hand the thing which is good. For what purpose? That he may have to give to him that needeth. You see the challenge? God said that he is willing to give you wealth. And there's nothing wrong to covet that gift of getting wealth. But remember the motivation. The motivation is, I'm going to perform my life in such a way that I'm going to have wealth, and a certain level of wealth I'll be satisfied, and then whatever is over, I share it with the family of God. Nothing wrong with that. So, ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about covetousness, there is a covetousness who is legitimate. Hurts me. When I see young people that have ambition for nothing. Ambition for nothing. Hurts me. And you as parents should challenge your children who has 100% potential to have ambition for the things that are proper and they are right. Now, the Bible clearly says also that there is an illegitimate covetousness. The man commits evil when he desires another person's wife or property or any other possession belonging to other person. See, these legitimate things of the Bible, legitimate covetousness, will make you to study hard. And you will become a skilled professional in many areas, or a skilled technician. The legitimate covetousness will make you to perform each day better. You know why I listen to my tapes on radio? I hate to listen to myself on radio. But I listen to know my mistakes so that I can make it better and better, so that the Board of Family Radio will never replace me for doing wrong. They can replace me for any other reason, but not for not performing correctly. something in your job. You got to work so hard and so good and producing so well that your boss and, or your owner of the company will say, you know, I'm low on job, but I cannot afford to fire this fellow. You will never be out of job if you work as God wants you to work. We don't need these unions. We don't need all these things of mankind. What we need is to have a sense of what God wants from us. Now, there is illegitimate covetousness. And look at what the Bible says. Exodus 20, verse 17 said, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. You know the word manservant and maidservant in the King James? That are the workers. You shall not covet the workers of this man, not his truck, his ox, not his ass, not anything that you have, your neighbors. You should not do that. Look at how the Bible developed this intensively. In Ephesians, if you go from the Old Testament now to the New Testament, and you go to Ephesians chapter 5, and in verse 3, the Bible becomes intensive in this warning that we should not covet. The Bible said, but fornication, in Ephesians 5 and in verse 3, and all uncleanness, or covetousness, let it not be named among you as becoming saints. I don't want to hear, said the apostle, that something like this is in your mind or in your church. I don't want to hear, said the apostle, that some of you people call yourself Christians, live in fornication and uncleanness and in covetousness. Do you see, if you learn grammar, a comma doesn't divide the thought, but enlarge the thought. And look at in your Bible again, fornication, comma, uncleanness, comma, or covetousness. The three are equal, is that right? The three are in the equal level. They are not a fourth sentence, they're a parallel sentence. And that means that fornication and uncleanness and covetousness are on the same level. Wow. Woo! This is heavy. Go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, and you see how heavy it is. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. There the Apostle Paul said to the church of Colossus, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, which are, Paul, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, look at the end of the sentence, which is idolatry. You know what idolatry is. Idolatry is to have any other god, they are God. If in your life your car is more important than God, that's idolatry. If in your life your wife or your husband or your children are more important than God, then that's idolatry. If in your life your dollar is more important than God, then your dollar is idolatry. The dollar is no idolatry in itself, but you can make it an idolatry if you worship your money more than you worship God. So the passion to possess what do not belong to us is an ugly sin. Do you see that? The passion to possess what do not belong to us is a very ugly sin compared to idolatry. We claim the Roman Catholicism has saints or whatever is on the walls in their churches, and that's idolatry. You know, in one sense, it looks a very gross sin, but we do not look to ourselves that we can have the same thing in a different way. For example, if you use the day of the Lord, Sunday, for yourself, that's idolatry. If you say, Sunday belongs to me, and I will not worship the Lord, and I will do what I want with Sunday because it's my day, that's idolatry. It's exactly the same as a Roman Catholic worship a saint on the wall. So don't be too hard on them. They do it out of respect and maybe in misunderstanding. They don't mean it bad. But you mean it bad if you do not respect the Lord. These sins of covetousness is an ugly sin. Somebody told me, pastors, Sunday is for myself. That's idolatry. I feel so sorry that is in your heart. Because God's going to take whatever you have and destroy you in pieces as you grow older. See, when the heart is focused upon a possession, when the heart is focused upon something other than God, that is idolatry. I say it again, it's nothing wrong and be a wealthy person. Nothing wrong. If that's your gift. In my family, from my mother's family, one of my cousins had that gift. Ishmael is his name. Whatever he touches with thought, he converted in gold. He became a doctor in economics at a very young age of 23 years old. Brilliant fellow. And my grandmother said, all of you boys have to be one day in the Congress or in the White House. Because grandma's idea was that in Argentina will be inequality among the citizens of our people. See, in Argentina until recently, you cannot be a president of the nation if your religion conviction was not Roman Catholicism. And my grandma thought, if I get these four boys in the Congress, there will be a revolution. Well, grandma's dream came through when one of the boys became Secretary of State of our nation, and the thing changed. What an ambition of a girl born way in Ramallah in Palestine. Third grade education. But she have an ambition and never rest until she say, you boys need to go to the Congress. You boys need to be there to let them know that there is a God. What a tremendous, I can forget what she said. Fantastic. But this boy, Ishmael, had the ability to be wealthy. And one day, I asked him, I was playing soccer, and I said, now, if I give you $10,000, we're talking 1950s, will you make me wealthy? He said, I don't know. Maybe you lose the $10,000. So I get it back within my pocket. And he said to me, is this the will of God for your life, to be wealthy? If this is the will of God for your life, you're going to be wealthy. But if this is not the will of God for your life, you find out what it is and dedicate yourself to that. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the passion to do something that is not yours, that's covetousness. So you need to develop your life. You need to focus your heart not upon the possession. You need to focus your heart not in something else other than God. This is the reason why the scripture declares that covetousness is idolatry. In Ephesians 5 and in verse 5, the scripture is clear. For these ye know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, no covetous person who is an idolater, said the scripture. If this is your style of life, that I want to have what I don't have, and I want to live my life in such a way that always I want to have what I don't have, then you are in the sins of covetousness, and you are an idolater. We Christians live a life focused in God. Focus in God. Now, I grew up with one grandfather and two grandmothers. I don't saw the other grandfather. Yesterday, I was doing a preaching in a 15-year birthday. That's why I have this flower here. I was preaching in a 15-year birthday, and Lodi, a missionary's daughter, was 15 years old, and they did a reception for the church and for the friends. And there were two sets of grandparents. I told the girl, I said, what a privilege you have. Two sets of grandparents with you. See, the fact that I don't have one grandfather do not affect me. I miss him. I said, I don't know how he was. And I learned about him through pictures and things that people told me. And sometimes you grow up and you don't have a mother, or you don't have a father, or you don't have a brother or a sister. But that's, you don't have to live the rest of your life wanting what the other people have. You need to live the rest of your life focusing on God and what God has for you. So now, what is required by this commandment? What does God require by this commandment? Number one, we must watch out for any sign of covetousness in our life. Luke 12 and verse 15 said this. Luke 12 and verse 15. And he said unto them, Luke 12 and verse 15, take heed and beware of covetousness. How are we supposed to live knowing that this sin of covetousness is all around us? Number one, we must watch out for any sign of covetousness in our life. Any sign. Luke 12 verse 15 said clearly, take heed and beware of covetousness. Number two, and I hear this over and over, people say to me, that guy is a sinner and look at how he prospered. Have you ever thought about that? Here's a guy in your town who is in, is by almost, I said, a car seller, but I will not say that. Here's a guy in your town who you know is a crook, and look how he prospered. Number one, we must watch out for any sign of covetousness in our life. Number two, we must not envy an unbeliever. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 17. We must not envy an unbeliever. Proverbs chapter 23 verse 17. Let not thine heart envy sinners, said the scripture. Proverbs 23 verse 17. Let not thy heart envy sinners. These guys who do not know the Lord, they may have the whole world, but they will never have God. Number three, we must not seek first the things of this earth. We must not seek first the things of this earth. Look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. You know it by heart. Matthew 6, 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the junk of this world, that's my words, and all the junk of this world will be added unto you for sorrow. When I came to this country, I keep saying, in 1965, I have 8 luggages full of wool because I come to the North America, as it was cold. See, South America, where I came from, is cold, you know, 10 below 0 centigrade. So now I come to North America, wool and wool. The guy said to me, the inspector, well, what do you think you come to the North America? I said, oh, it's warm here. I have 8 luggage. We live in an apartment in Alameda. We don't have to lock the door. If they want to take a sweater, take it. You know, we don't have anything. But now we have an alarm system. Do you have an alarm system? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all the junk of this world will be added unto you. Number four, we must not concentrate in laying up treasures here on earth. We must not concentrate in laying up treasures here on earth. Matthew 6, verse 19 and verse 20. Matthew 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves breaks through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through. You know, if you parents work, and you each one of you have 2 jobs, you become very rich, and your children become very poor. Each of you have, in this church, have the ability to have 2 jobs. So husband has 2 jobs, the wife has 2 jobs, and at the end of the month, you can have maybe $15,000. And at the end of the year, imagine all the money you have, but you lose your children. I guarantee it. So you choose, what do I want, money or my children? Number five, we must be content with what we have. It's not something that difficult. It's difficult for my little girls. It's difficult for you adults. We must be content with what we have. Look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and verse 6. Hebrews 13, verse 5 and verse 6. Let your conversation, your behavior, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. Be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave you, nor forsake thee. So, that we may boldly say, said the scripture, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. See, do not put the trust in any other man except in God. Let not your behavior be without covetousness. It's tremendous, tremendous. The Ten Commandments is saying to all of us what the first said. I'm God, and I want you to put your trust in me. I want you to concentrate on me. And the rest of the world, you have it when I believe is good for you. I was talking to one of men here in church before the service, and without knowing, he shared with me something very applicable. He said, Pastor, I've been working in this way, hard. Suddenly the God stopped me and said, it's not this way, man, it's this way. And because he yielded to God and no complaint, he's going to be blessed. Some of you have been working hard, sometime, boom, you get fired. Or you get ill or something. And God showed it the other way. See, our trust is not our job. Our guarantee is not who we are. What we are is God. And if you have no God, you have nothing. So may God bless us, that each one of us working hard will never lose track of the one who make us work, our God. Thank you, Father, for the blessings of trusting you. Thank you, Father, that in spite of ourselves, you keep an eye on us. Thank you, Lord, for being our center, our focus. And we confess to you that from time to time, we look around and sometimes we look down. Lord, help each one of us to look up and to be happy with what we have. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. You may take the hymn books, please, and we close with 394. I surrender all. There is something in your life that maybe you need to surrender to the Lord, a want that you need to surrender. Use this opportunity in prayer. As we sing together, I surrender all. Keep us under the power of your hand. Give us, O God, the strength from above and cause us to focus on you. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to honor your name and to follow. In Jesus, we pray. Amen.